come back with Alder Armin Taylor. Followed by Alderman Mitchell.
Hey. That's what happened when you come on time.
Exactly. Hey.
No, that's not what happened, because I was here before all of them last time.
And yeah, but you got to remember, though, you wasn't, you know the game.
I know the rules.
Thank you.
That don't mean I don't like them.
Okay.
Commissioner, are we still talking about doing the shovel the sidewalk pilot?
Well, we put a plan together. We work with CDOT, Office of Budget and MOPD. It's actually online. It's online, and it's a further conversation.
Is it supposed to happen this season?
We've worked in a working group with the advocates, with MOPD, with CDOT, and with budget on that. And it's online where people can look at what the work that we've put into that. And at this point, it's online. And it's the plan is there.
So, question from one of my constituents. The blue carts seem to be a lot stronger than the black carts. They feel like the black carts are not as sturdy as the blue carts. That's, I don't do garbage, so you can't ask me. I don't know. Is that?
It's made it
the same. Is it just because of maintenance of the carts?
Probably. It's made of the same materials, same size. It's... You probably get a little bit banged around if someone's putting concrete in it or a material in it that's heavier. Obviously, they're heavier. But no, to answer the question, it's the same material.
Is there a conversation about you all? So we've been looking at through the budget about fines and fees. If you all are going up on fines and fees, are we sending that out to constituents before January 1? So think about this. If we decide to go up garbage, and just saying, are we going to make sure that we're advertising or sending out emails to say, hey, come January 1, if your garbage is on and flowing, it ain't $100, it's $500 now.
As far as a fine, or yes. Are you talking the fee?
Fine, both.
Well, the fine, I know of none of our fines are going up.
Okay.
None of our fines are going up at this point.
No fees either.
That I'm aware of. No, I'm saying that I'm aware of right now.
Okay.
I'm not aware of that. So
If that's the way we go,
we would
there's some type platform of communication. Because this is what I get from especially my business owners. They'll say, I didn't know what the fee was for having trash in front of my building. Yes, you do. And you know you can get that ticket, what, every 24, 48 hours?
Yes.
They act like they don't know.
Yeah.
And so...
There's literally, we can post our fines and all of our fine ranges are on there, from fly dumping to weed cutting to...
Through the chair, can you send that to all of us?
Yes.
Quality of life. I used to get a lot of those when there was a shooting. I haven't gotten that many in the last year and a half. Where you bring out there's a shooting in a certain part of the community and we bring out the entire team. I didn't see that a lot of last year. Have we stopped doing that, or is that some special request, or?
No, we're doing the, we're working with, as I mentioned earlier, Gary and Gatewood's team on that in certain areas throughout the city. So it's, the one that you're referencing on was with Glen Cross and CPD. This has gone to, it's really an unbelievable event. It's it's grown over the years. I've seen different variations of this, and this by far is really incredible event. We're going in there and doing the work, and you remember, I'm sure, the roll call in the morning. We're there in the morning just doing the work. We're doing the work prior to, and then working with the community. And then at the end of the day, people are getting to come out, and there was literally job fairs at these things. There was bounce houses. I mean, it's really a positive program that it's turned into.
I didn't get one, so I don't know how positive it is, because I didn't get one. During COVID, did ward superintendents get COVID pay? No.
Well, I mean, we got, if we were sick, we had sick
okay.
pay. We got
so we
sick.
Did, okay.
I mean, if a ward superintendent had sick time, I had sick time, and we got COVID, it was COVID pay.
So it was, is if you got sick during COVID, you did get COVID.
It was sick pay.
Regular sick pay, or was it something designated just for when folks got COVID? There's a difference.
We coded it as COVID.
Okay.
And so a tracking mechanism we saw, you know, I mean, we had, I'd say the department's 2,200. We probably had over 900, you know, that COVID, and we lost people to COVID in our department.
Yeah, I know.
So glad we're back. That's behind us. I'm glad.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Taylor. So we're going to have and I say you were next. Okay. Alderman Mitchell. I'm drawing a blank, man. I'm trying to get all these new sweepers labeled properly. So we'll give you the Bowen sweeper, followed by
I want a Grambling State University.
No, we're not doing a Grambling sweep. We're gonna do we'll give you a Bowen sweeper.
Omega Psi Phi sweeper. Ain't that right,
Bowen? Well, all right. I can have the Bowen sweeper followed by the St. Rita sweeper. So we'll have that added to the mix. Go ahead.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. I'm gonna just dive right in, Cole. I want to extend the discussion on a few topics that were brought up earlier. One related to violations and their subsequent enforcement. Abandoned properties. We have properties, we talked about being able to go, and we write streets and sands violations on what we can write them on. We have properties that have been vacant for years, and we're constantly writing the same tickets on the same properties. One of the thoughts that I have was figuring out a way, creating a criteria for abandoned properties where it is in the system, is known to all our departments as this is abandoned. So because we keep writing these tickets, they don't pay them, and they were running up time. So what are we continuing to write tickets for? So we wanted to continue to write the tickets, categorize them as abandoned, and then create a whole nother quality of life plan to deal with those. Obviously, I'm gonna talk more about it with you. And I mentioned to you guys, there's a lot of things in these wards that we constantly endure, but we don't write any policy, we don't write new ordinances, and we keep on going through the same old thing over and over. And when it comes to enforcement of these properties, it's actually not doing anything. We look at violations as a tool for us to get compliance. They don't comply on the ones that do go to an owner, and the ones that's abandoned, they just continue to exist. So want to work with you, just like we did with the towing and the COCA, thank you, to create some policy around what we do about this. Because it makes no sense to keep on writing the same tickets over and over when we know this property is abandoned. It's not going to do anything for enforcement. And then half the time, Department of Law lets the tickets go. They don't even do anything. Which leads me to my next thing. Earlier, I think it was asked.
Can I just comment on that real quick? Just know that. Full 100% support it. We used to pick up fly dumping, for example, for $100, $200. We worked together with this group and got to where the fine was $1,500. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think if we work together collectively on these abandoned properties, because it's not just in certain areas, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. The abandoned properties are everywhere, where sometimes these banks or these owners don't even know mm-hmm. that they're on their roll. And so if there's something we can do with you as a team, it's a huge problem for us, and that's a real problem for the neighborhood. So we acknowledge that.
That's one of our biggest issues. And with respect to enforcement, again, the city of Chicago, the law department, they have a lot of turnover. So they don't even know that this is an habitual offender, and they constantly let them go. And it turns out to be cheaper not even to do the work, not even to maintain the properties, because they know they ain't going to get fined or they're not going to pay 10%. It makes no sense. So
all for that.
Yeah. Earlier, it was either Alderman Taylor or Dow asked for the listing of all the violations that we've received. I want to speak about being very clear with the ask, because I want to see that too. How many of those tickets are what's the outcome of the tickets? Are they thrown away? I mean, are they what? And then I want to see how many of these properties, how many tickets are written for these properties over at the very least a 10-year period, five and a 10-year period. So if we can get that, that'll give us an idea how we can look at some things. Another discussion that was earlier was the about trees and the planting of the trees. You responded, or somebody, I think it was Rodriguez, I think it was, talking about how good the trees are to the environment and everything. Okay, I will absolutely concede that there's a benefit of having trees in the environment. But I want to also have on the record the opposite side of that, that a lot of these trees are causing problems in our neighborhoods to our homeowners. You know, tree roots are getting inside the sewer system and causing problems. You know, I think you said that you got the statistic that a fully developed tree absorbs 30 gallons of water. Well, just like if tree roots are in some of these, are causing problems for the infrastructure, gallons are going into some of our houses too. And so while we're saying all these good things about trees, I want to also put on the record that some of these trees are creating big problems for our homeowners. And while we seek to plant for 75,000 new trees, that we got a nice subset of trees that are wreaking havoc on our neighborhoods. Which leads me to another point in that a lot of new trees have popped up in my ward. I won't go into that. I know you have more. I'm not going into it. We'll talk about it off later. And they're being planted. I understand. I was under the impression that either CDOT planted the trees or Streets and Sands. Now I'm hearing by the Department of the Mayor's Office under Environmental and Sustainability Initiative, they also are planting trees. Can you confirm that?
Let me get clarification on that. Malcolm, is that we're out there planting, CDOT's out there planting. Who's another group out there? I know they plant the smaller trees than we plant because our trees are a little bit bigger than the ones that we'll see. Malcolm?
Malcolm Whiteside, Deputy Commissioner, Bureau of Forestry. The only other group that's planting will be Open Lands, where we give our permits to them. And they're planting smaller trees, like 1.5-inch caliber trees.
Okay. And you guys already know this, but, you know, they're planting trees where they want to. Trees are being planted where they want to. So I have areas where trees are planted that now are impactful to us being able to maintain lots. Because now, instead, the tractors are not able to go because now they have a tree in the middle of it. So I think about it. I brought it to attention. And I want to make sure we address that. But I'm looking to you guys to ensure that trees are just not planted to be planting them. I understand if constituents want them, and I know you guys verify, that's fine. We won't argue with that. But to put them in our lots on the side of viaducts, on the side of that's unacceptable. And you guys know how I feel about these trees. The other part to the planting of the trees in this initiative to plant 75,000 We already were experiencing operational issues, for lack of a better term, with how we maintaining our current stock of trees. Now we're adding 75,000 more. I don't know what the math would equate to add 75,000 more trees, and in 5 years, what, how much more staff you would need to maintain that in addition to our regular. So while we want to do all these initiatives, who's putting the operational policy behind that? Because if you're catastrophe planting 75 more trees, I would be first to advocate for you to have more staff to deal with that.
You know, we'll always take more staff, but to your point, we lose a lot of trees too, to storm damage, to dead trees. We removed, between storm damage and dead trees this year, we removed about 5,500 trees. So we're removing trees, but your point's taken. And I say the block that I live on right now was redone about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And those trees were all planted at that, most of the trees on that block were planted at that time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not gonna say it takes 20 years for a tree to get trimmed, but they're almost to the point where, so these trees that we're planting now, I think we got a while on those. Malcolm, if you can clarify.
Well, to the level that you want it to be.
You're such a politician, Cole.
But I understand.
No, you didn't. Yeah. My time is so, policies. What are the responsibility of the laborers from a policy standpoint? What are they supposed to report? I have a situation where, you know, our laborers in the alleys, every alley in the city. And let's go to the 7th Ward. I've had situations where I've had fly dumping where this is alleys or certain alleys that we have not seen because we go out and look and we don't see everything. But the laborers in the alley every week, all of them. And what is the reporting requirement for you guys? If they see fly dumpers, are they supposed to report it? If they see broken or damaged trash bins, are they supposed to report it? If they see garbage in the alley, are they supposed to clean up, report it? If they see tires in the alley, if they see abandoned and hazardous cars, are they supposed to report it? Because that extra set of eyes in our alleys and our neighborhoods help us.
Tommy Johnson literally brought everybody in, the RCCs, the supervisors, and we have these discussions that we're, as you mentioned, I've said it numerous times, we hit everybody's house once a week. Mm-hmm. We see everything. So we need to be proactive in everything we do because nobody's going to be interested in supporting streets and sanitation if we're not doing our jobs. So Tommy's made it perfectly clear to the RCCs to get this message down that, hey, these are great jobs. These are really good jobs. Let's take pride in our city and let's take ownership of these alleys. And let's, if it's on the ground, pick it up. And that's kind of always been the motto. If it's on the ground, pick it up. If you see something, say something. If you run across something, report something. So we can take care of it, because the only thing we can't take care of is stuff we're not aware of. And a lot of times, going back to where we were, we're trying to figure out so the assistant general, the division soups, the ward soups, they're made aware, and not just it fall on deaf ears.
Yeah, and you guys enforce this. You gave them the talk, and this is gospel now. This is the mode of operation.
Pick it up, and then you have Sarah Cola, who's the deputy commissioner. We got Juan Gonzalez, who's a general soup. We got Manny Gonzalez, them going through these alleys and seeing it and go, we have Kelly who does make sure that they're doing their job. We'll go out and try to stay ahead of the inspector general and do audits of teams to make sure they're doing that.
Okay. And last thing, Jay, you talked about recycling earlier. You talk about
80,000 tons.
Yeah. So what about the recycle trash that they deem contaminated and don't pick up? Well, let's talk about a little bit of that. Because
I believe, and again, I'm going to fact check Chris. I asked Chris to fact check what I'm saying. But I believe that it, the number was 85% of the stuff that goes to LRS. Is that number correct, Chris? Or do I got to get that number through the chair? Is actually processed as far as contamination. The question is, how much is contaminated? What are we doing for the contamination?
Deputy Commissioner Chris Sauvé, that is correct. It's we get an annual report from our vendor, from LRS. They do an audit of all the blue cart material that they're collecting for a certain period, and they run it through their processing equipment and determine how much residual or material that's not recyclable. And Commissioner is correct. 80% of that material that's collected is recycled, sent to different processors throughout the Midwest. 20% of it ends up being a residual.
And what does that equate to from a financial standpoint for us? I basically want to find out, is this really worth? Is this worth doing in the city of Chicago? Is recycling really worth it? I get recycling, but from a monetary standpoint, are we benefiting from this?
I'm gonna say in the last 12 years, we've done a million tons of recycling. So I truly believe that it's a path we got to continue going down.
Monetary, how does that benefit us? I get, does that benefit us from the bottom line?
Sauvé, what do you got to say on that one?
Yeah.
So Deputy Commissioner Chris Sauvé, so I think that the real benefit, Alderman, is that the fact that that material is not going to a landfill.
Okay.
The landfill life and longevity that we will have for the future is exponentially grown because of the recycling program.
Got it.
That is a huge financial windfall.
But how much is it costing us for that benefit?
Well, the earlier we provided the cost for the LRS contract, which is $29 million.
How much?
$29
million.
So it's about $36 million is the cost. There'd still be a cost if we picked it up and just called it garbage. There would still be that cost as well.
Yeah, because that was one of the things that was put on the table, this recycling. Okay. All right.
So I wanted to clarify because the last question that I understood, I gave the $29 million for LRS. It's $29 million for LRS, but it's if you add another $9 million to that, so you're at about $38 million total.
So this recycling program in the city of Chicago is costing us $38 million.
$38 million for the recycling program for the city of Chicago?
It's Deputy Commissioner Chris Sauvé, that is accurate. So that's the LRS contract that operates in four of our zones, and then we have two zones that are still under municipal operations.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And we pick up 800,000 tons of garbage, to put it in perspective.
Yeah. Okay. And the benefit of it is not going to our landfills. Got it. Okay. All the other stuff I'll talk to you offline. But streets and sanitation, you guys are arguably one of the most important department. I mean, you guys have helped me stay afloat while I get development and do the more things. But in my ward, when they floated this whole property tax increase, they went straight to talk about services. The last time the property tax was floated, they hit me with the services. I will admit this time around, it wasn't as hard, but they still got a lot of issues with certain things. And I'll continue to work with you guys on it. Because again, the quality of life that happens in the streets, those alleys, it's a big deal to my constituents. And the issues with the abandoned properties, the cutting of grass, that's all issues. Oh, got one more policy thing. We can't cut, in order to cut grass, they have to measure out it 10 inches. And that is for for residential property as well as privately owned vacant lots.
And as far as in order for us to issue a ticket, it has to be over 10 inches. What we're seeing is with the city lots, they don't have to be 10 inches.
I know about the city, but the privately owned.
Privately owned, yes, 10 inches or more. That's ordinance, okay. City ordinance.
I want to work with you guys to potentially separate that out, because that having to wait on a privately owned lot to reach 10 inches and the size of them, that puts a scheduling pressure on how we get those cut. I think residential, okay, if you want to leave it at 10, fine, but these lots, we need to be able to cut those a lot sooner because they're bigger. You know, we need to hit them a lot more frequent. And I think that would, Noah would benefit me, and I have one of the least the wards with the least amount of, well, with the least amount of vacant lots. But for the ones that have 3,000 privately owned vacant lots, that I think that would be a big help. So that's something I want to sit and put on the table. You know, residential, fine. Want to keep it at 10. I wanted to bring it down to 7. But for privately owned vacant lots, we need to be able to cut them. We need to be able to cut them 5. We already know they're vacant. We know no one's going to go out there and cut it. We already know. So let's be able to cut them.
33,000 tickets were issued this year for privately owned lots. So that's multiple. So to your point, I'm jumping on your point.
Yeah. And Sam, again, I'm not worried about the tickets because we're not, and we'll see the numbers, we're not benefiting from these tickets. We're not benefiting
from revenue. That's almost $20 million in tickets right there.
And that goes back to, these are vacant. We're never going to collect. We're never going to collect. So that's something we need to talk about. So
we'll sign you up for the 300 then. So you won't spend a lot of money, I see.
That's big little brother right there. Okay, but all right, I'm finishing up. So I want to say, as usual, Debbie, I told you earlier.
I was about to stop.
Debbie, thank you for everything. Mike, appreciate the quick conversation. We just saw a gave me clarity on a bunch of stuff. Appreciate what we did with the abandoned toll ordinance.
No, thank you for that too.
Yeah,
thank you for that. That was a win.
Yeah, that was a win.
And that's again us working together and understanding your PowerPoint, your pressure points, and us being able to do what we do. And that was hopefully you got your answers from Lococo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he we're gonna bring him to the table a couple of times. You know. Tommy, thank you for the quality of life crew. They've been working with us. Gloria, can't do without you. And I got my man Jimmy, man. I where's that guy? Did he leave? There he is, man. Jimmy, thank you for everything, man. Appreciate you. I'm doing this on purpose.
We're gonna put you in for 350.
No, that's all I have.
Put you in for 350.
That's all I have, guys. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Mitchell. Alderman Quinn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Commissioner.
Good afternoon.
Commissioner, I would agree. You have a great team, and you guys go above and beyond, and it's a reflection of your leadership. So thank you for all of your hard work. I'd like to begin with talking about snow. And just to make sure that you're fully staffed and we have the appropriate number of salt. Don't want to walk into any traps like we have in the past where we're begging other municipalities for salt. So we're good on salt looking into 2025.
Yeah, no, we work with the budget office and through this whole process, it was, hey, we got to start with the 425,000. And we were able to get to that number again. And so we're in a great place for salt.
And your fleet of vehicles is ready to go?
We got 30 new spreaders. We're ready to go. We're going to see some, right overnight, we'll be out. Bridges and overpasses, it's going to be real close.
Yeah. And drivers?
Drivers, yeah, we're good. We're good. We've been working with 700.
Two-hour guys are good?
Hats off. We got 160 on right now. We got 20 more to onboard.
Commissioner, changing to fleet of vehicles, there's been a lot of talk today about garbage trucks. Recognizing COVID had an adverse impact on our fleet, about how many new trucks are we putting on a year?
I floated out there 185. I fact-checked myself during lunch, and it's 195 in that ballpark. We're at 20... garbage trucks a year. That's kind of been our cadence of what we got. We have 30 new spreaders, which spreaders were a tough ask for the last couple years. Yeah. And another tough ask was us for with semis and trailers. We literally were able to send in towers. We got new towers and we had 3 new clams. We got seven new towers. Malcolm, was it 7 new towers and 3 clams? 7 new towers and 3 clams. So we're back in the game. We're back in the game as far as getting our equipment.
Do we need to make up for that, those COVID years? Do we have to buy more garbage trucks to make up?
I was really worried about the spreaders because a worker for us that's 50 plus years on the job, Nikki Mungari. And I asked him, what was the problem in 79? Because he was here in 79. And he literally brought up equipment. So for those COVID years, I was literally saying, hey, when I got in here, we were at like 12 to 14 years on the turn for a new piece of equipment, right, which was great. I said, we're going to be at 16, 18. And you know, when stuff happens, it's going to be due to lack of equipment. It was a great opportunity to start seeing the equipment coming in again. So to answer your question, if we continue on this cadence, I believe we're in a good place due to the fact that right now our equipment as a whole is a little over 10 years old on average. Now that's on average. So we continue to turn it over. As I mentioned earlier, we got 26 new sweepers over the last couple of years. I was waiting years for trailers. We got 10 50-yard trailers. We're in a good spot with equipment at this point.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about laborers. Do you have enough laborers? I think last year this time we talked about like having a pool of laborers, similar to like you have a pool of drivers. Have you advanced that thought?
We took it one step further. We worked with 1001. We worked with budget. We worked with this mayor's office. LIUNA opened up their training center for us, and we were able to onboard 70 CPS students, where we were kind of looking that towards our pool. And we worked with them and got through the program. And I'm happy to say, out of those 70 young folks from CPS, 55 of them took the opportunity and became 1001 laborers. And I also would like to take this time to say that all these industries need electricians and plumbers and laborers and carpenters. So there's a lot of opportunities for these young folks to try to take advantage of.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. That's great to hear. Commissioner, talking a little bit about tree trimming, and we've talked a lot about this, and I think you're on the right path. I think your numbers are very impressive. I would continue to encourage you to find room in the schedule to take on pressure points from aldermen. So as long as you could find that balance, I don't think it's an either or. I think we could do both. So I would continue to encourage you to find that room in the schedule.
And all I'm asking on those, if we can get that message out, is to, if you do get that call, have the ward soup just go out and verify that what's happening is actually happening, just so we can continue down that path.
Sure, sure. My last point is I just wanted to recognize my ward superintendent, Mo, who I think is the best in the city of Chicago. So thank you for everything that you guys do. Certainly appreciate it. Look forward to working with you this winter.
Thanks a lot. Who's going to win this weekend?
Are you laying points?
Who's up? Who's playing? Oh, that'll be a good one. Where are you playing at? At Rita, okay. I have a cousin on that team, so. Rita. Carmel, no way.
Hey, if I could clarify, sorry.
Go ahead.
Sure. I'm being told it's 20, and I'm looking at Malcolm, too. It's 21 clams? 21 towers, I'm sorry? 21 towers. Kelly, 21 towers. We're all in agreement on that? 21 towers. I said 10, so I misspoke. And it's three clams? Three clams, 21 towers.
Are those the new electric ones?
No. The towers? Kelly, I'm looking at you.
Okay.
No. But for clarification, 21 towers. I said 10. I misspoke. And three clams? That's big. That's big. That's getting us through stuff without having to rent stuff. So my hat's off to the efforts of Fleet.
All right. Back roller. Cole didn't eat lunch, so we're giving him a little pass. Alderman Vasquez, followed by Alder Hatton. There she is, Alder Hatton.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Looking at the time, you guys are amazing. Thank you for all the work that you do. Shout out to Bill Hohenadel, House Chair Ward Soup. I got four quick through the chair questions before I get to any. So first, if through the chair, you could send preferably like a spreadsheet of the private hall licenses, units they serve, and the cost they pay. Just want to get a sense of that. So when we're talking about the garbage fee, some of us has also been talking about the private hall.
And yeah, put it on paper in longhand.
Just want to make sure, knowing that like they tear up the alleys too, that if the bins aren't full when they're cleaning them, they're dumping them in the alley. And so there should be some skin in the game there too. So through the chair wanted that. Through the chair also, you mentioned the rat abatement pilots. So if you can list the different types and where they're occurring as far as the pilots, whether it's the contraceptives, carbon dioxide, just to get a sense of like what's all happening. Through the chair, the quality of life rotation, so the number per ward, how many we've seen as far as visits. And then the next one, it kind of dovetails to a full question. So through the chair, the trees trimmed and a map of the grids that have been completed. So I guess my first question along those lines is, we know that there was funds for some like registry portal to get that information. Like to know what the progress has been, because I think that you guys do an amazing job on the tree trims. It's increased 118% year over year as far as getting it done. So the challenge that I see isn't necessarily about the work being done. It's about the way it's communicated to the ward offices and how we communicated it to the neighbors. So just wanted to get a sense of what's happening with that portal.
One second, please.
Yeah, no problem.
Malcolm, you provided me that, correct?
I'm sorry?
Did you provide him this information he's searching for as it relates to the portal and the tree grid trims?
Let me provide that number to the chair.
Well, like I said, through the chair for the trees trimmed and the grid, I think that's just something I want to have to be able to send to neighbors, right?
Malcolm, if you can give Alderman here the update on actual where we're at with that grant. We got that grant. We discussed that yesterday, the grant for the portal so we can inventory the trees. Can you just give him the update on that?
Yeah, so I can give you information. So it's an RFP that's right now sitting in procurement and should be going out advertising on January. And then I think it's 6 months after that, it should be launched.
Okay. Definitely. And we'll make sure to follow up. We want to be in on kind of that conversation, the same we were with 311.
Can I just read you what we had prepared for you on this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
3M grant from USDA through the Inflation Reduction Act under the direction of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and Community Forestry Program. This grant will be carried over to 2025. Request for proposal is in procurement. Hope to advertise January, February. It will identify every street tree species, size, condition, risk assessment. Will help us with the area pruning, and by giving us data we do not have in each grid, block, and address. Will identify trees needing removing and those that need to be addressed due to risk. Remove, prune with crack, etc. Help us prioritize work. There will also be a revision update of our 2023 management plan with input from community members.
Awesome. No, thank you for that. I think, like I said, I remember negotiating to get more of the tree trim crews to help get the tree grid system in place. I think you guys have done a phenomenal job. And I know that often you may not hear it because people, especially folks who just like this is their first term, and even people in our staff, they'll be like, the complaints we get now, and I'm like, you guys don't know what it was like prior to the grid system, when even if you put in a request, you had to wait for 3 years, 4 years. So, I just want to make sure we're able to communicate that. So thank you tons for that. The next question I got is related to viaduct cleanings. So we've got a number of viaducts through Ravenswood across the 40th Ward. And, you know, when we call requests, Debbie Lopez does an amazing job. We do get that stuff done. I just don't know what a regular rotation of that can or should look like. And moreover, when we talk about the lining to keep the pigeons from being there, everyone's like CDOT or Union Pacific. And like, I just want to get it up and done and never know who to hold accountable to actually get some of that lining reinforced. Because we've got these neighbors that like to feed the pigeons all the time, and it makes it even worse in the viaducts, and it's a regular occurrence.
I'm going to say, with your ward superintendent being out there, those concerns, I always would push that to Deb DeLopez for the simple reason, if it's not CDOT, she can be the conduit that can track it for those power, for those pinch points for you.
Okay, awesome.
So
yeah,
just continue to push them to Deb on those. She deals with the viaducts. She deals with the unhoused. She deals with those issues. We'd have to power wash, so I would continue to use Deb as that resource on that issue.
Okay, yeah, no, like I just double check. Like I said, I want to make sure that I'm not overburdening either and being like every week it's a thing, right? So thank
we're,
you for
we're that. 7 days a week, 365, so we get it.
Well, okay, so on that 365, the number one issue we used to get at the ward office was the tree trims, and we were able to work and get that improved. Now the number one thing is street sweeping. And the main question, which I think a number of members asked, but I still have a handle on it, why it's not able to go even later than November. Is it a staffing issue? Is it a storage issue? If you wanted to have a team that also does street sweeping and the one that's doing the snow plow, why can't it just move to like, hey, we're going to do till mid-December if it's not snowing?
Oh, we're sweeping the week of Thanksgiving after. So then you're the following week, you're looking at December 1st. We're posting that week of Thanksgiving. There's no enforcement on that ticket wise because it's not on the website.
Yeah.
So know that is a piece of equipment that has more mechanical movable parts than probably most pieces of equipment, and they're major overhauls. So we're ready for that April 1st. It's in our best interest to get as many leaves off the street as we can. So we know we want to street sweep, but we're getting snow tonight. They're saying we're getting snow tonight. They're saying we're getting snow tomorrow. If the ground temps come into play, like right now, the sub-temperatures are 50 degrees. We're in a good place. But those ground temperatures get cold, and we're adding water to that. You're creating an ice skating rink. So we ask that when your ward superintendent does that sheet for you for the season for street sweeping, that they look at it and you know where your mature area of trees are, where your biggest problems are. You want to end up in those locations in November.
Right, do them last.
Just do them last. That's where you want to end up. And know that, I'm sorry. We have sweepers on year round.
So I think similarly, it might be a communications thing where like if our people, our neighbors understood like, hey, because the ground actually is at this temperature, here are the reasons why. If we literally had as ward offices almost like a one pager that were like, hey, a neighbor's calling you to complain about why we can do street sweeping a week later. We just go, here's the Q&A, the FAQ as to why that's occurring. I think it would help at least address it for some of the neighbors, because I think I'll be honest, sometimes they ask us and I'm like, well, I'm trying to wrap my head around why we can't go later. That would be, I think, helpful to a number of us.
Yeah, because, again, those things got to be overhauled. It's a big, big lift, because if I don't have 50 sweepers on April 1st or that first week, my phone doesn't stop ringing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And getting a sense of that, of, like, what all it takes to overhaul these things and why you need to take them off the field to make sure they're ready for the next year. I just think the more information neighbors get, the more they can wrap their head around it and the less they're complaining. But when they don't have those answers, and not just here, through a variety of lenses, that's when they get more frustrated. So the more we're equipped with that information, the better.
Anyone on this team sitting in that box, myself included, we can sit with your team. You have a lot of former ward superintendents in that box, including myself. You got Lou Cepeda, Tommy Johnson, Gloria Pittman. We get the PowerPoints, and if we can help you format answers and questions, we're all for it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Another through the chair question. I know our colleague Alderman Conway kind of mentioned the way you guys were doing the process to determine what requests we were getting that weren't 311, and that, not about credit, but that's not even being recognized as far as the work that you're doing. So through the chair, if you could send any findings that came from that study or what they were looking at to go, here's what we saw. For example, and we know this to be true because we use Airtable and other means to record it. There's a number of categories that are hate. We get a whole bunch of these, but none of these are 311-able. That it's good for us to know to then kind of get ahead as well. So if you could send that information through the chair as you have it, I'd appreciate. And last question I've got is related to curb stoning. Some of our colleagues know what that is. That's when you've got the folks who are, they buy cars off of auction, they get them repaired, they leave them parked, they don't have license plates on them, right? And basically, because you've got the 7-day sticker, you put the sticker on, they move the car somewhere else. Now there's not 7 days anymore. And so what we want is the ability to actually enforce and tow these things literally same day. And so when we've had conversations, sometimes CPD will do it, sometimes streets and sand, but the protocol and process isn't clear to us. That if I know that on certain blocks in my ward, these guys are just basically selling cars left and right and parking with no license plate, that we could just basically tow them because they don't have the plates.
All right, I'm gonna give you the hard truth answer. I'm gonna have Lococo answer it, and this is what it is. This is, and he's gonna give you the answer. So if there's ways that has to be fixed because of the body doesn't like his answer, this is his answer, and you're talking to somebody with 30 years of experience in this business. So Lococo, did you hear the question?
Mike Lococo, Traffic Services, Streets and Sand. The bottom line is you'd have to change the ordinance.
Yep.
That's it. The only way we could tow it. Because if it doesn't have a for sale sign in the window, we can't tow it. It cannot be towed immediately. If it has no plates, we got to give a 2-day notice. So other than being parked in a no parking tow zone, there's nothing else we could do.
I appreciate that answer because we actually have an ordinance in committee that we were told by Department of Law to hold on to. We're going to let that one go and get something passed because there's a number of colleagues here that are just fed up. And so we're all going to move this thing. And the Department of Law, if they don't have an answer as to why they want to stop it, it ain't going to matter because we got to pass it because we deal with their constituents all the time about this one and want to make sure that you all feel empowered. Because if these guys that are selling these cars just bought themselves a lot, none of us would have a problem. So why not just boot them, tow them, get them to pay whatever, or get the hell off the parking space? So thank you so much. That's the last question I've got. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman. I think the point about the curb stoning, again, this is not new, and I think I've had the same conversations with Deputy Lococo around that. I definitely think we need to tackle it because, again, people are turning the streets into their own car lot, especially around areas of high traffic, no plates, nothing. And again, they are very good at the cat and mouse game as I've dealt with it back and forth. So definitely something that we can tackle and address for everybody. So, okay. All right. Alderman Gutierrez.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't have no questions right now. Just wanted to thank you, Commissioner, and all your staff for the great work that you guys have been doing with our 14th ward. I know I want to shout out to Juan Montoya, which is our ward superintendent, that it's also doing an amazing job. And to you all, because I know it's a lot of work, but you guys get it done in a really fast manner. And just that. We'll keep in communication. If anything arises, I will keep you posted. But thank you.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you. Alder Cruz, you have anything?
Thank you, Chairman. I also, I'll echo what one of my colleagues said, but I also want to say thank you to our commissioner. You're outstanding and, you know, leaning on to you for anything that we need, calls, questions. You're always there. But also your team, Debbie, Old Urban Park, we love you, for all the help with the pigeon poop cleaning around the Vitex. That is greatly appreciated. And Luis and everybody, Mike Drake, thank you so, Lococo, I'd rather say, thank you for the help. But things that I'm going to disagree a little bit with one of my colleagues regarding the forestry grid. I understand that it's more, how many trees get, quantity, I'd rather say, that's what I was looking for. But then, you know, James does a great job taking care of those requests. But sometimes to have an area or grid to take about 2 to 3 years to get there, it could be concerning as well, because sometimes it says, you know, based on your grid, if we're in the east and by the time we get to the west, it's going to be a long time. We do have some residents express concern when it comes to waiting for a long time to get tree trimming. So for me is, I understand the quantity, but I disagree with the way it's done now, because sometimes, again, it takes way longer to get some trees trimmed that the residents are calling, they are requesting for it, rather than some of them that may not even care for it. But then I have somebody who's angry because, again, it's taking longer to get their tree trimmed. So that's my personal take. I know it seems that it's working for all of you and some of the colleagues, but speaking with other my colleagues, we have the same concerns.
To that, know that we can continue to work together, no differently than we do on everything else, and know that before we did this, if you put in a tree trim, it could take up to 3 years to get done for a tree trim. Literally, you might not believe that because it was literally 2 to 3 years to get a tree trim. So it's we're on our path. Like I said earlier, we're going to hit 180,000 within the 2 year period. Know that we'll work with you. I've said this a couple times, that if you're getting those calls, have your wardship soup go take a look at it and just make sure that that tree is hitting the, have the wardship look at it so then we're not wasting resources.
Exactly.
And know that we'll work with you. If you have an area that is just overgrown, we're running across trees that haven't been trimmed in 50 years, that never been trimmed. So if you have an area that's your pressure point there, we'll work with you on that. Know that.
I'll go ahead and share that with you. And I just want to echo with Alderman Vasquez said about the cars. We do have these individuals who have sort of a car dealership based on the streets, and they take all the parking spot. They sit there for a long time. I've been having two critical locations in my ward where I feel like I have done everything I possibly can with what the ordinance says, but I think I will be supporting that ordinance to change things, because at one point, you know, your staff was out there with me and the 17th district as well. There were 30 cars parked between two streets, and it just saturated the whole parking situation. But I hope we can change things because these cars need to get towed. The only way they're going to learn is if their cars get towed and they got to pay for those fines.
So we're all in on that ordinance conversation, and LeCoco will definitely, we'll put a plan together with police and BACP, Mike, with police and BACP, and we'll try to get that situation better for you.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Two things for you. One, Alderman Quinn has an innovative solution on tree trimming. You should talk to him, and he'll probably help you out with that. Second, if LRB, I'm sure they are listening, if you could all could prepare an ordinance for the change needed for the for sale vehicle parked on the street. Not sure if that's needing a exact sign or maybe some language that talks about one reasonably to believe that this is a vehicle for sale. And I don't know what that looks like, but you guys are the lawyers and they should be able to figure that out so that we can process that particular ordinance. I think many of us have the same challenge and problem as it relates to curb stoning in certain areas of the community. So Alderman Beal, followed by Alderman Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner?
Hello, sir.
I just got a couple of quick questions for you. How many total positions do you have in your budget?
Total positions, 2190.
2190? 2190. How many vacancies?
97. 91.
Okay, is that predominantly the vacancies that you have, is that for summer or temporary help or
no, are those just full-time positions?
Full-time. How many of those positions have been open for more than 12 months?
I mentioned earlier, so you know, we've hired over 600 people in the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
Close to 300 this year, and that doesn't include another 340 that we hire through our two-hour program for snow.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at almost 900, over 900 people we've hired in the last 2 years, but I'll focus on the 600, and out of the 600, we lost 140. As far as this department's concerned, our department, as far as the hiring aspect of it, we're in real good shape. So I said to the question earlier, they said 9 months. I'd have to get you that number through the chair.
Okay. And what's your total budget again?
I'm sorry?
What's your total budget?
$352 million.
And I'm sure you cut your 3% that the administration asked you to trim out of your budget. Just want to know what your 3% cuts entail.
That's the change right there, right? Yeah. It changed $369,000.
Okay. Does that equate? That doesn't equate to 3%.
No.
Okay, so you didn't, out of your department, you did not cut 3% across the board.
I'm going to let Managing Deputy Eric Colon.
The number guy.
Managing Deputy Eric Colon. So we did have some cuts, sir. We had 31 vacancies that we cut out of there, and we cut some sections throughout the department, but there's just salary schedules changes for next year, so that kind of drives the budget back up again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're saying it's going to drive it back up past the 3%, or are you going to try?
We've made some cuts, and then, like I said, with cutting 31 vacancies and then cutting some things out of our non-personnel, just the scheduled salary increases kind of drives it right back up again. So yeah, it only came out to about less than 1% that we cut for next year.
Okay. All right. Well, Commissioner, as you know, I mean, we're all suffering with budget problems. If you had to trim some more, I'm not saying that you all have a lot of fat in your department, but if you had to trim another 7%, where do you think you would look to trim that? If you had a charge to trim another 7% out of your budget?
I would definitely have to continue to work with the team to be able to provide that number. I mean, we're at a level of service that people are expecting to see. Every year over year, and to be tasked with cutting positions, that would be a definitely working with the team to get to that point, because if we're talking $353 million, you know, you're talking about another $25 million, fair to say. That would definitely be something that we'd have to get together.
Well, I mean, just know, I'm not talking about laying off. I'm talking about maybe continue to go after some more efficiencies and eliminating or even putting on a shelf some of these open positions that you may have that haven't been filled in a while.
Oh, understood. We're in a reference Tommy, because he's got the 30 years. I'm at the 25. He's got the 30 plus years. If I go back to John Tully and showed him the books and people that came before me, we're in a great, great place as far as delivering service. I can't sit here and make reasons or excuses on why we can't get something done, because the efforts that have gone into training folks, as far as the laborers and the labor force training folks, as far as the effort into the equipment and stuff like that, we've been given those tools to actually do our job. So to get into figuring it out, that's what we do. We figure things out. So if we're given a proposition that this is what we have to do, we're in a position to make tough decisions sometimes.
Okay. No, I get it. Well, I know that, you know, some of my colleagues have done it, and, you know, we're looking to do it as well, because I know that, you know, some of my colleagues, along with me, have a bunch of vacant lots. And, you know, with you all having limited equipment, you know, we are looking at purchasing some equipment, but we have to figure out how we pay the personnel to operate the equipment to kind of assist you guys, you know, with doing the heavy stuff, but we can kind of try to do the day-to-day stuff to keep some of these city lots kind of cut down. But I will tell you, one of the biggest problems that really make a community look bad is the tree line vegetation that you guys can't get to. We got to figure out a way to get manpower to be able to, you know, get to these tree lines. Because even some on some of the mains, you know, it's tough. And, you know, you have to do that by hand, you know. So whatever we can do to help aid and assist. But, you know, I love the department. You're a great guy. You got a great team in place. And, you know, you're one of the cream of the crop when it comes to commissioners in this city. And I appreciate everything that you do. So
thanks for the kind words.
Thank you, Alderman Beal. Sign you up for the 300, too? All right. Alderman Clay.
Thank you so much, Chairman. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just want to say thank you so much to the entire team. My experience has been amazing working with Streets and Sanitation. I want to give you all your proper kudos for that, because we deal with some complexities that not a lot of people understand. We changed the route on the Chicago Pride Parade this year, and all of you were hands on deck. There's not one person that I don't think I touched that didn't say, yep, I got that covered. Yep, we're working on that. And convening these meetings with so many people in a room can get overwhelming, and you all made that a very smooth process. So I just want to say thank you. Want to give a huge shout out on the record to my ward superintendent, Ron Lazzaroni from the 10th Ward, because that man saves my life. And you all have good employees that understand this job who come with more than just the typical knowledge of how to throw away some garbage. So thank you for that. A couple of questions that I have for you that we've seen in my neck of the woods is the protected bike lanes, right? So as we're trying to create infrastructure to save pedestrians who like to bike, we are creating these protected bike lanes, but then the leaves fall, right? And we have another bucket that we are trying to wrap our arms around of who's responsible for cleaning up these protected bike lanes. Cole, can you speak to that a little bit, please?
Sure. We work together on everything we do. Know that it's not just an issue for leaves, it's an issue for litter, it's an issue for snow. We used to do Lake Street before they had the protected bike lanes, and they'd push it, we'd push it. And so we work together with Commissioner Carney on that. They do have smaller sweepers that do go into those areas. But again, if there's an area of a bike lane where we can get in with our sweepers, we'll take that. If you're saying who holds responsibility to that, I'm sure Carney will sit up here and take responsibility for that.
Okay.
When you see him, but know that we're all into this together. We don't just pass it up. If we can get in it or get at it, we're gonna help out. But it is a team effort. We have to talk in regards to snow on where they put these protective bike lanes, because our plows have to be able to get through there and make those turns. So it's always a team effort. So yeah. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, I would just love to see, as you're creating the schedule for street cleaning for next year, if we could potentially just carve that into it as much as possible. I know you all try to get it as you go by, but having an intentional schedule, I think, just helps my constituents. No one is going to get cleaned, right? Because other than that, Ron's got to go do it. So I want to make sure that there's just a consistent basis that we can put in front of people. Also, how do you work with the Parks Department when it comes to homeless encampments? And I apologize if you already answered this question, but given my neck of the woods, I want to make sure that we're being transparent with how we work together and clean it up.
As far as how we work with them, we post. That's our aspect of working with them, is we post. I'll throw it over to Deb Lopez, deputy over street ops, that works with that group hand in hand.
Hi, Debbie De Lopez, deputy commissioner. We work closely with Park District and Department of Family and Support Services. We do post for them, and in the event they would need help with cleaning, they would let us know and we would assist them in that aspect of it, with the Department of Family and Support Services being the lead on those.
Got you. So you all do not have any authority to go and just remove a tent that could potentially be left in the parkway?
No, we do not. That's we can't enforce the law. We don't make that determination. We rely on our collaboration with Park District, Chicago Police Department, and Department of Family and Support Services to make the determination that that tent is no longer being used. And then they would tag it and let us know it's ready for removal.
Got you. And that process is basically you all tag for them. You put out the warning signs that they have a week to come clean up the site. Within a week, if they do not come and clean it up, you're back within 7 days and actually getting the okay to clean it up with DFSS.
Correct. For the cleaning, yeah, we post a 7-day cleaning. The tent posting is a separate posting. That's Department of Family and Support Services or the Chicago Police Department would put on the tent after they determine the tent is not being used. And then if the client comes back and takes the tent back, we then have to start the process all over again. We can't take it, obviously, if someone's in there.
Got you. One of my last questions, and Deb, I want to get us more than one street cleaner, one power washer, okay? Do y'all know how many power washers we have to split amongst 50 wards?
Got a power washer?
We have one. We have a power washer, okay, for the entire city of Chicago. So just imagine what happens when some feces is on the ground, okay? So I'm advocating for a more power washers code. Put that on the list. I'm sorry, Bill. We need that. Last but not least, how many garbage trucks do we have out of service?
That varies. We put up 291 refuse trucks. We have refuse trucks in the loop. We have basket truck. I mean, that varies.
Okay. I would love, and you don't have to answer right now, I would love to get that answer through the chair if possible. And I'm only asking this because at any given time, I feel like we have a plethora of garbage trucks that are out of service. You all pick it up, you all still come and get it, but it pushes things back sometimes. And then we're the ones that's getting the calls about overflowing trash cans, et cetera, et cetera. So I would love to get that number to see if there are any trends that we need to be looking at when it comes to our fleet of garbage. We can't afford to be down two trucks. And if we're consistently down 10 to 20 trucks, that plays a major role. So I would love to get that through the chair.
Okay. Understood.
That's all I got for you good people. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alderman Clay. You have your own power washer? Oh, okay. I'm just asking. Okay. Alderman Harris, followed by Alderman Curtis.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I'm not going to ask any questions because I've been in and out all day, and I know my questions have been answered a billion times. But I do have to acknowledge what a fabulous job you do for the city of Chicago, and in many cases, doing things with fewer resources. So you're appreciated, Commissioner, for everything you do. You got a fabulous team over in that box. Man, they some fabulous people. And so I love each and every one of them. And I could not be a alderman without the help and extension that everybody in that box gives me. So a big shout out and a big thank you to you all. I love each and every one of you and really want to say thank you, because Streets and Sands is that department that works 24 hours a day and is often seen but never appreciated. So you are appreciated today for everything that you do to make the A4 a better place and the entire city of Chicago. With that, I got to do a shout out to my superintendent and say he the man. He works, takes my calls at crazy hours. Y'all know the former superintendent gets in me, gets in me, and I be calling people at 10 and 11 o'clock at night with my problems. So I thank you all again, and I want to thank Terry Myers for being a great ward superintendent. And if there's a department that shouldn't be cut, Streets and Sands can't figure out how to do it on any less than what you do it on. You are an integral part of what makes Chicago great. And so as we're looking at our budget, I'm pretty sure that all our colleagues kind of feel the same, that We need to make sure that the resources are there for us to continue to be a great city. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much for the kind words.
Thank you, Chairman. Alderman Curtis, fellow Alderman Coleman.
Thank you, Chairman. good afternoon, Mr. Cole Stallard. it's funny to see you in the suit up there, man, because you're a boots on the ground guy. And, you know, it's funny seeing you in a suit. But I have to echo everything that Chairman Harris said. I mean, I love you guys. We talk all the time. I'm still a part of the family. I talk with y'all all the time. So, man, we all good. I do just have just two things only. One is, and I always wanted to do this, even when I was Lord Super, is there an ordinance? And maybe we should have had someone from the law department to answer that question. Or how is it written that give the powers to the war suit to write the sanitation or write the sanitation citations? What I'm asking is there a way where we could like cross some of those citations with, I don't want to say other departments, I don't want to write parking tickets or anything, but maybe public way citations, or I have people parking on the grass and then I have to call the public way inspector, and then they were short of people when I have my war suit right there. I'm just giving like some examples. So is there a way, or have we ever thought about other things that suits could write citations for other than just sanitation issues?
To answer your question, yes, there's things that we do look at, but then we also look into, I can talk about a lot of things in this department, but when it comes to towing, I always look to LeCoco because there's so many laws involved with taking people's property, basically. So I always tap on that 30 years of experience, and I always pause with that too for safety factors. If you're not doing that every day and that's not your kind of jam and you got that sense of doing your job every day, to put that ward superintendent in that position to where they're not accustomed to dealing with that person that's coming out and going, hey, that's my car, and just being real comfortable with that, that's where I always kind of give pause. Because we can get there. We can get there with LeCoco's group. His group's on every day. But I hear what you're saying loud and clear. I want you to understand that too.
Right. Because you have a vehicle parked on a grass and you got oil leaking from that vehicle and, you know, it just doesn't look right.
No, that steps through Alderman Irvin, Chairman Irvin's ordinance. Alderman Mitchell has jumped on it. We worked with LeCoco and the law department to where I know you had the one where parking in the front yard, I believe it was, going over. Mm-hmm. So we've really made strides in that ordinance to now we're going to see a positive to where it's easier for us because it's on the books and we can go back to that lot without starting the whole process over. LeCoco, talk on that one a little bit more, would you?
LeCoco's Traffic Services. I do believe your ward superintendent, some of them are able to write tickets on vehicles, but not write tow cases on vehicles. That's the issue I think you're talking about, correct?
Correct. We have to call Department of Finance.
I do believe the ward superintendents are able to write tickets on vehicles, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we have to look
at that. Well, we could look into it and see what your ward superintendent has done. But as far as writing tow cases up for vehicles, there's a lot of complicated stuff involved.
They don't have to be tow cases, just giving them a citation to let them know that it's not allowed. basically, just a citation.
So basically a parking ticket, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And the other thing was something that I just was hearing a lot of other alders talk about, even Alderman Clay just mentioned about the garbage trucks. And you may get calls or emails downtown where they talk about when you cycle, and I know this goes back years when we used to weigh raw garbage and we wanted that best weight. And so, you know, we had to kind of squeeze that truck. And so we're getting a lot of complaints now about basically when they cycle that truck, the liquid that's in that truck goes right on the ground in the alley, and people complaining. Even if it don't smell, they're going to say it smells. And they have to get the bleach and the, all of that stuff to go and clean. So I was just trying to eliminate that. Is there anything we could do to...
We're going to continue to work with your office. We're going to continue to work with the ward soup, get the sweeper over there to try to address
that's what
that.
We've been doing, yes.
We've talked with Fleet. They know it's an issue. We've talked about it a couple times today earlier. It's a gasket. It's a plug, you know. You've been behind those garbage trucks. I know where that plug works really well. And if it rains and they're dealing with that slush, you know, the whole route. So we know it's part of the business. We know that when it rains, we're going to get those complaints. But we continue to work with Fleet and have a great relationship with them to get through those times. We know it's a pain point for the office. Right.
So I appreciate everything that Streets and Sand does. I told the mayor at the beginning of his tenure that we have to protect our bloodlines, and Streets and Sanitation is one of those bloodlines that we have to make sure we maintain and protect at all costs. It's very important that we continue to keep our services up with Department of Streets and Sanitation and all the departments. So I thank everyone over in the box. Love you all, guys. Thank you also, Mr. Stallard. And I'll see and talk with you very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Curtis. Alderman Coleman, followed by Alderman Gardner.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner, you haven't turned red yet. So I'm wondering, let me see if I can try. Gloria, let me see if I can try to get him a little bit. I'm just kidding.
Started working.
I just want to commend the new rat lady, Gloria Pittman, the rogue lady, on her move. Now, will Deputy Commissioner be doing rodents and weeds?
Well, she's going to help because she's become the expert on making us better. So we're going to get support.
Okay.
Weeds has been a labor of love. I mean, it's Tommy, myself, Gloria.
So I question that because in the summer for wards like myself, Alderwoman Taylor and Scott, when it comes to weeds, we've got to do something different for 16, 24, and 20, especially for the boundaries of south of 59th Street. In my case, we've got to get some more weed cutters, possibly some more weed firms, some more cutting firms. But what has been going on for the last 5 years, we've got to do better. Okay. Deb, James, Mr. Higginbottom, James Sheen, my secret sauce weapon, TJ, I can't thank you all enough. I have one of the best street sweepers, and that's Darius Jones. But let's talk about trees. Don't plant no trees in 16, okay? Letting you know now, if you plant them, Inglewood will cut them down, and I'm going to bring them to 53rd and Western, okay? All right. SBC Waste, I've been noticing these trucks. They are not doing a good job in terms of the debris for the small businesses. They're not picking up. So I don't know if there's any
if we're tracking these outside firms that are supposed to be doing the garbage pickup with BACP. But I've been having some problems. Rotens down Western and SBC Waste. I'm seeing their trucks more and more often. They are a problem on the southwest side.
No, Chris, does that ring a bell, that waste company, SBC? Chris Sauvay?
Deputy Commissioner Chris Sauvay. They are, yes, sir, licensed waste hauler in the city, SBC Waste Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So we can definitely message them about some of the cleanliness in and around their services in the ward for sure.
There's overflow, debris, and with small businesses, you know, when they're taking advantage of small businesses, right? Then I'm calling you all because the neighbors, especially when you have a street like Western and Artesian, the neighbors are complaining to me and they're, you know, and the businesses say, well, I've got this, but they're not coming to pick up. I've even noticed that their carts for some of the larger residential buildings, you'll see their carts in the middle of the street. So that's a bad actor, and I would like for us to be intentional about holding firms like specifically them accountable for the lack thereof. If they're supposed to be picking up waste, then they should be picking up waste.
Yeah, I definitely will work with your office to identify those locations, especially for that company.
Okay. On the tools for our ward soups, what are we doing in terms of technology on assisting them? And I've got to go back to 16, 20, and 24, right? What's another way? I know we have our FSIs that are amazing. We get one. But what can we do around technology to help break down? I don't know if we're using the best human capital personnel time for writing up these tickets. If we know that these lots are vacant, why do we have to send them out if they haven't been touched? They're owned by the city. Why are we spending days and weekends writing up tickets? We already know they're... Is that the best use of human capital?
I'm going to throw that to Gloria. So we have made strides. It used to... The amount of vacant lots really hasn't changed much over the past 20 years, and we literally used to write it by pen and triplicate. So we have made strides, but I'm going to let Gloria talk about the advances that we like to tout in that tough area of concern for us.
Thank you, Commissioner. Deputy Commissioner Gloria Pittman. So 3 years ago, we started using a weed cutting application that helped us out tremendously, as the commissioner said. So we've advanced that application to now where the ward superintendents will not have to go out and write the city lots up, only at the beginning of the season. And then after that, we're able to enter the city lots automatically in a cycle. And so we tested it this past season. It is up and running, it does work. And so we will continue to use that system. However, on the private lots, which in the 16th ward, I believe you have more private than you do city, they still have to go out to write the tickets on those lots.
Oh, for sure. And then sometimes maybe an owner, but again, I also question how we're sending out the violations. You know, we've found people in Shanghai, so that's a problem that we just have to deal with. Coordination with tree trimming, street cleaning, and weed cutting. Have we ever considered coordinating these three efforts?
Oh, what we said is when the tree trimming is going on, they have blowers, they have brooms, they have shovels. They're supposed to leave that location clean. That's number one. Number two, they're only hitting that one block in your ward on that day for the ward superintendent to know where that block is important. So they can tell if it is an issue where you need additional help, so to send that sweeper over to that block and hit that block because all the cars are removed. So that's a layup for us. in order to get that done. A street sweeper has time to do that at the end of the day. That's not a big ask of what you're doing. And then you mentioned a third thing you wanted to coordinate that I missed.
Weed cutting. Tree trimming, street cleaning, weed cutting. Like they should, you know, if one is going to come, the other one's going to come. Why do street cleaning when trees are, you know, the grid is getting ready to happen?
Well, hopefully as far as the...
Weed cutting. Makes sense. Why clean the street and weed cutting is coming on this day, but we've got our street cleaner the day before and we can just have save him for when tree trimming and weed cutting is done.
The weed cutting, they're cutting, is one crew cutting about 30 lots a day?
Yes, depending on the vendor, between 30 and 50 lots a day.
Depending on the vendor. And as you know, I have a vendor that I'm not satisfied with. Understood. Because they're not doing their job. Trees on privately owned lots. I have found that to be a public safety issue. And while Malcolm, Deputy Commissioner Whiteside, has been as helpful as he can. And Sheen, thank you for stepping in. But we've got to do something different. And I understand the law is the law. But when my resident sends me a video and four shooters can hide behind the trees and the weeds in an alley, I don't want to hear this is on privately owned. I want that tree down, Commissioner, Superintendent, okay? Head Superintendent in charge. So when there's a public safety and when shooters are hiding behind trees, that is so problematic. And I cannot come to my homeowners and my residents saying, well, we can't get the tree down because we don't know where the owner is. It's privately owned. We don't know who to send a ticket to. It's not an exception, okay?
Public safety is front of mind for us, too.
Okay, thank you. And abandoned vehicles, I know we're doing the 7 days. Is there any way we can drop that 7 days down to a minimal, maybe 24 hours or 3 days? What we have found in 16, one abandoned vehicle had firearms, had catalytic stolen converters, and they had somebody on the block watching the car. And thanks to my ward suit, we were able to capture it, but this is why, you know, they threaten his life.
I'm going to throw it to LaCoco. Mike, I know we talked about it, but your colleagues have mentioned earlier, all the women, in regards to bringing that number down. Mike, can you just, again, reference what your answer was?
We have to change the, Mike LaCoco, Traffic Services, we'd have to change the ordinance, all the women, to get that done through the law department. That will get it done, but I could also work with your office to do any kind of tow missions to help alleviate some of the issues you have in your ward.
Can we change it tomorrow?
I wish we could change it right now, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm in a business of towing.
Is Mike here? Where's Mike? Mike, can we change this? Can we change it while you're taking note? Okay, thank you. Chairman, just one last, I guess, comment. How is it going with our brothers and sisters over at 1001? I think we were in the negotiating. Are we done?
Their contract's done. 1001's contract's done.
Okay, great. That's all for me.
Thank you. Alderman Curtis?
Yeah, I just wanted to, let me ask that question first. Then I'll put my superintendent hat on and answer her question. About the, she asked about why is it that the street sweeper will sweep on a Tuesday, but they come and cut on a Wednesday, basically, right? But that's that, and the answer to that is because you're gonna get your street sweeping calendar way before the season starts, and that's is done. But your weed cutting is not rescheduled, basically. Correct, Deputy Commissioner Gloria Pittman?
The weed cutting services are entered by the ward superintendent. So we're basically first in, first out, and it doesn't always mirror the schedule. However, the contractors are due to leave the spaces in good repair, as well as the sweeper is able to go into the areas, because the ward superintendents do know the sweeper is able to go into the area to tidy up if necessary after the weed cutters have gone. But the weed cutters are due to leave it in good repair.
Okay. Alderman Gardner.
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. And thank you, Commissioner, and all your staff for everything that you guys do. I sincerely mean that. I know you were here a little while ago, meeting a few weeks ago or a month ago after the DNC, but I didn't have to have a chance to say when my wife and I were leaving the DNC, we were trying to get an Uber and we couldn't do it in that area that they had designated for pickup. And we had to walk to Ashland. And it was fairly late, but I remember getting to Ashland and all the people from Street and Sanitation were out there in Oz Park and all around underneath the L on Lake Street. And they were working real hard. I mean, so it goes to show that, you know, when nobody's looking, somebody's looking, and it makes you very proud. I know I mentioned that a little bit to you, but kudos to you. Kudos to everybody on Street and Sanitation, all the people who are in the box there today. And I don't want to, you know, start rattling off names, but I would be remiss if I didn't name a couple people like Greg Wagner, James Sheehan, Deputy Commissioner Whiteside, Deputy Commissioner Johnson, Pat Sanders, Dan Gonzalez. It goes on and on and on. You guys are excellent. Even your secretary, Christina Itunes, Noel, Gloria Pittman, Debbie DeLopez, Luis Cepeda. I can go on and on. All the laborers, especially in Mayfair, all the work that they do, the men and women, they're phenomenal, very respectful and hardworking and diligent and care about what they're doing. And it doesn't matter if they live on the north side, the west side, the south side, each of them are equally vested. And again, it just makes you very proud to see that the work that they put in, and you should be very proud of those individuals. How do we get you more manpower as far as forestry is concerned? And I'm sure my colleagues have asked you today, and I apologize for being in and out. And if you have answered these questions earlier, I apologize. But what could we do to help you?
We're in, as I mentioned, equipment was a thing. We got 21 towers. We got three clams. We've hired 25 tree trimmers. We've hired 25 tree trimmers. When I sat here 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I said, the body asked me that same question. I said, hey, we got 14 crews. What do you think we can do with 14 crews? I can show you what we can do if you get us to 30 crews. I can show you what we can do. And this body worked together to get us to those 30 crews. We're at 33 crews right now. We're on pace where we're going to trim those 190,000 trees. We're on pace where those 75,000 trees are going to be planted throughout the city. In areas, but we have slowed down on the planting part. Due to the fact that we want to get them into places where they're needed and wanted.
Sure.
So we're not just randomly planting. So as far as forestry, it was mentioned earlier that this is his last budget hearing after 37 years on the job.
Congrats.
He's leaving us with, we're in a pretty good place as far as forestry. From the 3 years ago where we were. And again, as I mentioned earlier, on my thanks to this body and the administration on getting us what we need to actually do the job, because I don't have any excuses. I have to take the issues with that y'all present to me in regards to the weed cutting, in regards to these issues that you have. And it's this team here that we're going to figure it out and try to get it done and make things better.
Okay.
Thank you. yeah, I mean, if we were a football team, your department would be the offensive line. And you guys are doing the grunt work to put us in the end zone, so to speak. And we very much appreciate all the work, all the grit that each and every person on your department gives us. And thank you for your service to the city.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alderman Gardner. Alderman Mosley.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Commissioner, I have to say thank you, thank you, thank you. With your department and all this help, we are really creating a better 21st ward. I mean, Rachel always opens the door for me. I get to see Eric and Lou and get to work with Tommy and Gloria and Debbie, those high lifts. And I mean, we can go on and on and on. And even in the division, Rob and Curtis are phenomenal. I want to ask you about when we talk about the litter issue. Is there a way that we can use 311 to capture folks in the act of littering, whether it's from cars or fly dumping or so forth? My residents are really anxious to be partners in this and share information from their Ring cameras and all.
Yeah, as far as the fly dumping, you know, and I'm talking about, when I mention fly dumping, I'm talking where I got to send a front end loader, I got to send a semi to go pick that up. We do about 5,000 of those jobs a year. The number always seems to stay on 5,000. Of the 5,000, half of them are in six wards throughout the city. So 2,500 of those requests come from six wards. So we know where the problems are. We want to look into cameras that can help capture this because ours are old. So we want to look at options at that to do what you're talking about. I mentioned Alderman Moore's name a couple times today. That litter campaign, I'd love to really ramp that up somehow, some way. And then we have, I mentioned your signs. You know, any way we can get that message out to try to do that. But to answer your question as far as is there a mechanism in line for a resident to see somebody throwing garbage out the window? As I tell my wife and my kids, you want to kind of leave that one without engaging in that type situation. So I don't know that there's a mechanism in place for someone to self-report somebody throwing. I don't believe so, because if there was, we would definitely know about it, because we see it all the time. I mean, you know, if I get on 99th or if I get on at 83rd, or we get on anywhere, you're going to see. If I travel any ramp from the Kennedy to the Eisenhower to the Ford, anywhere to the Ryan, you're seeing people pitch stuff out the windows. If there's something we can do, he's passing me, Keep Chicago Clean. We want to get that message out, and I'd love to be a champion for it. I had Courtney Bryson, who meets with people in Alderman's office. The coolest picture I saw, she was literally sitting a couple weeks ago in front of kids that were 3 years old, 2 years old, that were sitting there at a pre-K and just getting that message out of littering. Stop littering, stop littering, stop littering. So I think if we use kids to help get that message out, I mentioned earlier, we didn't wear seatbelts when we were kids. I can't get in a car without my kids going, put on your seatbelt, you know, and they all went to CPS and they learned driver's ed in CPS. So I think we got a great opportunity with this administration to tap into that resource at CPS to help us get our message out with Alderman Moore's efforts and your efforts. Everybody's, if I can use everybody's platform to stop the littering, that would be awesome.
Got it. And so I would suspect it's the same thing for people not picking up after their dogs in terms of self-report. Okay. When we talk about abandoned properties, you know, it's great when we can get safer and so forth, but my ward just seems to be one of those where the vacant property next door, the overgrowth in the back, is really negatively impacting the quality of life. what can we do there in terms
of continue to partner with you? They mentioned earlier, we'd love to get these banks and these folks that own these vacant properties, because the fines just don't touch them the way they need to touch them to grab their attention. So I would love to be part of that conversation to better that vacant property responsibility on these banks and these large entities that buy up these properties and just sit on them and don't maintain them. So this department would love to be part of that process.
And I think that goes right into my next question around like wildlife, right? Because that becomes the breeding ground for possums, raccoons, and so forth. Love the talk earlier that was happening about residents just replacing their cans to eliminate that food source. Are there any other ideas that your department is thinking of? I know this is a challenge because wildlife have rights now, and that's limited your department's hands and what can be provided as a city service.
Again, you heard what we all heard today, and there's things that we constantly got to look at. If we can get people to stop throwing garbage out the window, because it tends to be the half-eaten food that ends up out there, that's a source. If we can get folks to pick up after their dog when they walk their dog, we're halfway there. We're halfway there. People don't believe that it's really that simple. It's really that simple. It's almost like I got to do a TikTok or a Instagram, putting a pile of dog feces there and putting a stake down on the thing and let the rats go. They're going to go for that dog feces. Until I think people see that, maybe they'll understand that picking up after your dog. I know there's alders out here that put signs up, please pick up after your dog. We're begging people, pick up after your dog. I mean, my wife walks the dog around the park. She's got two bags. I bring three. What are you going to do if the dog has to go three times? You know, bring three bags to pick the stuff up, you know? So if we can get support on that, just helping us get our message out, that would be instrumental.
Yeah, I mean, you got a partner in 21 there. I want to shout you all out because November 11th, when the city was off, the 21st Ward experienced where a car was stripped of a lot of parts and wheels and so forth and just dumped on our streets. And you and your team were able to move into action and get that car taken the same day. I want to echo some of the things Chairwoman Dow spoke about with the cars on vacant lots and so forth. Just, I know, Mike, there's a process that we're working through, but if we can shorten that, because residents are really expecting a quick turnaround. And then just want to ask for help on street sweeping. I know I keep coming back and trying to figure out, Kelly has been helping us with our map, trying to get it better and so forth, but it's just a very, very large ward that I've not been able to come up with a great solution on there. And then lastly, we'll just say really thank you. I heard about the bins as well on the street, so you answered my question around that. Can you talk about what your department does around mosquitoes every season?
Around what, I'm sorry?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes? Oh,
the West Nile.
What we've done in the past is, I know public health, they set out the traps. And if they get a hit, a private company comes out and they'll spray. What we ask for the ward superintendent to do is to meet them out there and just go through the area with them just to make sure the area is getting hit so we can report back that, hey, this got done. It used to be a whole bigger process where they'd spray the whole city, and I partook in that process. But they're now planting traps to see where they get that hit. We ask people to close your lids on your garbage cans, you know, so you don't have that place where the water can build up. Dump your buckets. You know, those are all areas where mosquitoes can breed. So, but as far as our take on that, it was that as far as what we do is, we'd ask your soup to go out on that night and drive at dusk. You know, it's usually 3 hours
It's usually like a 3-hour process. When we get that call, we answer the bell.
Right. And lastly, we'll just say thank you for working and making resources available when we're able to partner with the state to try to clean up our expressways, entrance and exits. We've had a limited success in the 21st Ward, but looking forward to building each year, partnering with those signs and so forth. So thank you for having your team out on the frontage road as we get the state on the ramps and so forth to really meet residents' expectations. And looking forward to bringing in my seatmate and Alderwoman Dowell and even the west side as well to see how we can do something better across the city.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You've been out west? Okay, all right, just checking. Okay, I think we have exhausted our list. I'm sorry, Alderman Knudsen, you were hanging back. I couldn't see you behind Ronnie there.
No, that's okay. Thank you, Director, and thank you so much, Commissioner Stollard. Honestly, I came with a list of questions. They've been answered through the day, some quite a few times, so I won't go back through, but I just wanted to say thank you to you, your team. Alderman Curtis said it well, but you're all the bloodline. You really, really help us in our wards. You know, in our ward, it's Superintendent Marty Casey really just makes my job so much easier and residents' quality of life so much higher. And in the box, of course, Deputy Commissioner Whiteside, you know, James Sheehan, Luis Cepeda, Gloria Pittman, very excited to work with you as we love rat abatement. We're obsessed with rat abatement in the 43rd Ward. We've done a good amount of TikToking about rat issues, Commissioner, and I'm happy to help on garbage issues too, because it's fascinating how fascinated residents are by these issues. And I think it really strikes a chord. I just wanted to mention one thing, just because many of the public commenters now hours ago in the beginning of the meeting brought up the bird issues that are potentially related to our rat abatement. And just so you know, an FYI, we looked into funding a pilot program in our ward for the rodent contraceptive program that they brought up, and we're still looking for funding. We were told that through our menu budget, we would not be able to fund that, but that is something that I'm very motivated by, especially because of the potential, you know, loss of some owls, which we can't lose. So that's something I'm excited to work with your team. I heard from you today that you're very open to alternatives related to abatement. So we'll plan more meetings with you. You've always been very open to meet with us one-on-one, which we really appreciate. And I'll close out there. Sorry, no questions, but I'll get off my soapbox and just say thank you to your whole team.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Knudsen. Alderman Cito Lopez.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner, good to see you. Thank you for the work that you do. I want to give a special thanks to our superintendent of the 25th Ward, Maria Gallardo, a phenomenal work for the department. So I want to thank all of you and the people in the box. I think most of the questions that I had have been already answered. I do think in terms of just for the budget, you know, in terms of the overtime, what do you see potential savings? I know that we talk about festivals and other things that maybe are not urgent needs for the city, right? I know, like, in terms of police department overtime, you know, I know that you cover a lot of the festivals and so far. How do you see that process where maybe we're able to make some savings here in terms of just overtime alone? Any recommendations, things that you see where, because I know that overtime has gone over, you know, year after year. So maybe some of your thoughts about that issue. I know most of the questions have been covered, but I just was curious about your thoughts.
Yeah, when it comes to our department, it's and our overtime, it all goes back to public safety. I've mentioned 5 times today that, hey, it's going to snow tomorrow. You know, 60 degrees yesterday, it's going to snow tomorrow. Storms, we're seeing storms. In Malcolm's 37 years, he said this year was one of the worst storms he's seen in the last 20 plus years. We've doubled our tree emergencies this year, and that's why I say it's so important for us to get our tree canopy under control to try to minimize that as well. I think we'll see that benefit. As far as events,
again, we do the cleaning aspect of it. People are celebrating, people are having a good time. But a big aspect of that is public safety again. We're there to protect people from other people that want to do bad things. So our overtime is really driven by good problems because the city's open. I mentioned earlier today, we did 2,600 movies this year, events. We did events, and the movies and the TV is coming into play that we're part of. We do a lot of our stuff on straight time. It's just part of the business. You know, street operations and traffic services, it's done on straight time. Just the other day, we saw somebody at 8:30 at night pulling down signs. That's not on overtime. They're working traffic services, so we adjust our manpower to that. We put from 5 drivers overnight in the loop during the winter, during the summertime. We'll have 25 in there during the winter to try to minimize those costs in overtime. But a lot of our, the majority of our overtime is either related to garbage pickup on a holiday week, where we got to make up those 2 days to pick up the 625,000 households, public safety for these events, you know, where we're blocking, we're protecting people from going into these locations, and events to clean up. So I don't want you to think that I danced around your question, but just know that ours is mostly public safety when it comes to our overtime. I'd like to say we're gonna get no snow this year. Never make that mistake by your place again. I'd like to say we never get snow, you know, and we don't have snow for, but that's not a reality. And those are all costs that I'm gonna have to put out trucks tonight, overnight. They're gonna have to hit those bridges and overpasses because it's gonna get right to 31 degrees and that dew point, and there's no treatment on there, and it's the first snow and people are gonna see it, and they can't adjust from 65 to there. So it's driven by events, overtime, and safety, public safety.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate it. I think that we appreciate the work that you do, especially when they're when it's weather related, when the things that are, you know, they're critical for the city. You know, for one, we'd like to see how, you know, for special events and other ways to feel like companies that perhaps can reimburse for the work that the city does, just because, you know, we see already you're losing like 58 positions, right? We want to make sure that, you know, the work that you do is not constrained because of all the things maybe we can reimburse. Finally, I think most of the questions are right abatement, like you mentioned about tree cutting and all that. I really appreciate the work. You're very diligent in terms of responding, and I think that collaboration with local other offices, I think, is important to prioritize. So I think you covered most of the questions. I know there was a little bit about weed cutting and some other enforcement per se. Is there anything that can be done? I know that, you know, sometimes we talk about lots and other properties. And my concern is always with seniors of low-income families, people who are struggling versus companies that are, honestly, sometimes they don't mind. They just got the big pockets. They can just keep paying the fines and fees. So is there anything around equity that where we can, you know, help those struggling versus, you know, those who seem to be, in my opinion, even recurring offenders, you know, that just have deep pockets that keep paying, and maybe there's anything there to be a little more equitable in terms of enforcement. The rest, I do think, as I said, in terms of the department, I tell you, you have a great superintendent. Just in terms of, you know, tough times, I always advocate for working people in the department. These are all workers, and also the taxpayers, not necessarily the big companies that sometimes, honestly, those fees don't even get their attention oftentimes. So that's all my question. I don't know if you have any thoughts or feedback on that.
We're all about equity. It came out through us trimming trees. You know, that was one of our greatest examples that came, that they've actually highlighted, that people didn't call to get their tree trimmed, and they didn't. So any way we can look at making things more equitable, we're all for. And we'll participate in those conversations and try to move those needles to make things better.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome any kind of conversation with the controller or anything like that, just to make more equitable, especially in terms of enforcement. Again, I do appreciate your department and all the hard work that everybody in the department does. Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, and to touch on your point, we want to have conversation with folks. So if somebody's living in that building, we want to knock on that door. We want to leave that sign hanger. We don't want to just go right to enforcement. So it's for people that live in those houses where there is an issue. And you can learn a lot from having a conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Moore, you had another question, sir?
Yeah, real quick. SBC Waste Solutions, I think they're out of Broadview. And this may be more of a BACP question, but I'm sure you all keep tabs over. Are they licensed? Do we keep track of people that's totally licensed haulers and the waste haulers in our city? Because there's some concern about whether they're licensed or not.
No, that Alderman Coleman, point of clarification. That's the same company that you brought up, correct? Okay, so Chris Solvay is going to look into that, and we're going to report back to the body.
Okay, I don't know if she brought it up. Okay, thank you. I just want to say thank you, Commissioner. You have been a lead on the Keep Chicago Clean ordinance. It's your efforts, and it's somehow I was waiting for some information to come back from the departments, and Commissioner Tovar did her part. My staff missed it, and I'm on that. And she gave us some numbers at least, but I got to sit with her to see what that annual amount it is. She broke it up more on an hourly basis. So I need to sit with her to see what that annual is so we can continue to move on it, because I have no doubt that it will have a great impact. So I want to thank you for your leadership on that, and our committee chair, Maria Haddon, for making sure, you know, that it got heard, that it got pushed. And I think we can get through on it. So it's on me to make sure I get with Commissioner Tovar so we can continue to move on that in a positive way.
No, thank you. I can't. That's one of my things I'd like to really bring forward and champion is we can do it. I mean, literally, when we work together, meaning this body and the administration and the departments, nothing but good happened. We saw it with DNC, how we all came together and worked together. We saw how clean we got the city. We saw with the state, how they worked with us. You know, when we work together, we can do some good things. So I think that's not a hurdle that's too big to try to get this city cleaner. Everybody talks about when they come here, how clean the city is. They can't believe it. But I want to get those far reach areas that someone may not
Absolutely.
See. I want everybody to enjoy that benefit.
And I hear the same thing. I had some family here just last week, but even people that, you know, they always constantly say, hey, Chicago is nothing like I thought, it's clean. And it is when you get into the downtown areas. And compared to some other cities, even our neighborhoods are, but we got to do, you know, just work together. And it's not streets and sand problem at fault at all. It's a habit in terms of people having habits and changing those habits. So just appreciate your efforts on that. And then my last thing is the trees, because I want to make sure that we are working efficiently, but I guess it's no cost on the terms of the, I hope it's no cost, if the private contractor has to go back, if they plant trees that people don't want, to pull them up. Are we paying for that extra cost or no?
There's some areas where we do, and then there's some areas where we don't. So to answer your question, I think there was 64 trees this year where there was an issue. We look into that issue constantly mm-hmm. because we're getting into, again, we had the advantage and the backlog of people just wanting their trees where they were waiting for 3 years. So that's why we didn't slow it down, but we're taking a real strong look at it because we don't want to run into what you're talking to. We got 2 years to plant 13,000 trees.
Right.
So we've planted 20-something thousand trees last year. Those were people, I want the tree, I want the tree, I want the tree. So now we're taking a finer look, using a brighter, stronger lens to look at that so we don't run into that situation that you're talking about right now.
Okay.
Is there mistakes out there?
Yes.
Does the contractor acknowledge those mistakes? Yes. Are there areas where neighbors are putting in trees? I know your name. I know your phone number. I'm calling in and saying, I'm David Moore and I live here and here's my phone number, and they're putting that sign out there and that person's not replying and that tree's going in, and we're dealing with those issues. So those are things we're dealing with. A spouse, the spouse wanted it, the other spouse didn't want it. Right. You know, so we're getting into those issues. These are good issues again. Of the 56,000 trees we planted, those issues are smaller. We do run into it with concerns from alders on vacant properties running the line. You know, we work with CDOT. So we hear everybody loud and clear, and we'll continue to work with the team.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Chairman, for the round two.
Thank you. Did Lori Lipson put you up for that?
It'd be in my ear on something, but I can't tell you.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Maybe miss my under, so but it's all right. We got it. Any other questions? Any other questions? Any other questions? I just got two things for you. One man versus two man trucks. What is our natural number of one man vehicles, of one man trucks, and are we above that number?
We comfortably say out of the 291, and I'm hoping Tommy's shaking his head yes. We say that 70 routes have been designed to where it can be one person trucks. Tommy, would you agree on the 70?
Yes.
So we are in a position of where we're under 70 right now, where come December, we can get that number down to zero. But we know there's a bigger benefit to use those resources to get them out into these streets and get these areas that need to be cleaned and have them work with quality of life to try to get these alleys that are overgrown, pair them up to where we can utilize it in that form.
Okay, so then we pretty much, you guys are theoretically fully staffed in sanitation as it relates to garbage pickup on a daily basis.
We're in a great position.
Okay, the other item, and this is, you know, I don't know, generally you all have two-person crews doing rodent control in alleys. However, there are some instances where, like downtown, you all have a one-person crew guy or lady with a truck picking up garbage. What is the feasibility of turning your rodent control crews to a one-person operation where the individual drives himself to or herself to the alley, does their business, and then you know, goes along?
To put people in an alley by themselves every day, I would challenge that, just due to A, one's working one side, one's working the other. You're there with them.
Okay, let me stop. My impression and understanding was that the person that is driving is just driving. They're not, are they?
No, understood.
Okay.
Understood. But just them being out there, we ask and hope that they're working as a team and identifying things and going, hey, here's your holes over here. You know, we're not just saying, hey, drive. And you know, we're asking for that team effort out of that bureau to help identify. We have some great drivers. Not saying they're doing laborer's work, but they're out there to assist in that endeavor. And like I said, I think we need the 25 crews to get in every ward every other day. I'm going to say that. And then I'm always open to look at these other alternatives to try to get better.
Okay. The other point, were we able to recover any overtime from these storms through our through these disasters that we've been going through? Have we put in for that?
I'm going to look. I don't believe we hit that benchmark, but Malcolm Whiteside, were we able to recover any funds from the federal government in regards to, did we hit that benchmark, or Lusa paid? I'm going to ask you, did we hit that benchmark through any of these storms? I know the number's usually high. I know through snowstorms we haven't hit it at times. But Lou, I'm going to go to you first. Do you know if we've hit that benchmark for the tree storms?
Hello? Oh, there we go. Good afternoon, Luis Cepeda, first deputy. For the storms that we had here this time in July, we did not hit that benchmark. The only federal money that we received were for the storms last year in 2023, which was actually the flood. But it was not for the storms that we had this past July. We did not hit that benchmark. We did work with the counties to try to get to that number, but we did not meet that criteria that they had.
Wow. Okay. And then the street sweeping. I know that some are been talking about the street sweeping. I do think that I like Alderman Burnett's idea of selling space on the street sweeper or the plow or having some naming contest or community contest behind our local sweeper. Again, I think it's, you know, we always have a little camaraderie in these communities. So I think that would be a good idea if we can designate some of our sweepers with some designs. I know we do the breast cancer. We've done some of our professional teams, but also advertise some of our high schools and, you know, organizations and things like that, I think would be a good thing. And the final point is on the recycling aspect. I know Chris is always begging for blue carts and trying to get us to do more recycling. Actually, this is the first time that the four carts in my complex were actually full. Matter of fact, they need to be dumped, as a matter of fact. And I think it's something that's catching on with people. And I think we can do a better job marketing the recycling. And another trick I learned from my colleague is about using the garbage disposal to try to get rid of as much wet stuff as possible using that garbage disposal as well. So again, on the recycling side, you know, whatever we can do to boost those numbers and divert that stuff from the landfill stream, I think would be good. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd love, thanks for that question. And I, Vice Mayor, with the sink idea, I think it's a great idea in regards to, but we did pass out those composters. So thank you everybody for that, because you can throw your food, fruit, your vegetables, your scraps in that. So that's a great thing. But I wanna, Alderman Mitchell, brought up a point earlier in regards to, and I understand it's been a topic of conversation with this body in regards to recycling. I really want to say that there's Senate Bill 1555 out there. I sit on the board for the state. There's an opportunity for us, for our recycling program to be fully funded. It's out. And I'd like to throw it over to Chris because he can get the particulars on that. But I'd really like to get that information out there because I know that's a strong conversation for this. And I started the conversation with, we recycle 80,000 tons of recycling. We're going to break 1 million tons of recycling this year since the blue card inception. It may not seem like it's working, but I want Chris to explain the Senate Bill 1555, that the board that I actually sit on. So Chris Solvay, can you just touch on that slightly?
Deputy Commissioner Chris Solvay. So the Senate bill that the commissioner is referencing is to develop and bring to the state of Illinois an extended producer responsibility law for essentially for recyclables. It would be the producers of those types of packaging that would end up funding municipal recycling programs across the state. There's been 5 states that have entered it and brought it to law in those different states. I think the 2 that are furthest along are Colorado and Minnesota. The commissioner mentioned he sits on the advisory council that is working with all manner of industry, other municipalities, to understand what the inputs, meaning how much material is coming into the state of Illinois, what would be needed from those producers to help fund municipal recycling programs across the state. But this would be a significant game changer in terms of our budgeting and help fund our program at least 50 to 75%. Some states are looking at a fully funded municipal recycling program. So this advisory council has been meeting in 2024. The goal is to bring on a consultant to do a needs assessment in the state to determine, and hopefully January of 26, would have EPR here in Illinois. And I guess Alderman Irvin, maybe your four carts will push us over the top to a million tons.
Well, I think that as we educate more, I think people will, you know, take it on. And especially, and I don't know the of the zones and where you're getting your tonnage from on the recycling side, and maybe directing some energy toward education and marketing in the areas where we're not, I think, you know, may prove, because I know that there's a huge area of places where we're not doing the recycling at the rate I think we probably should be doing so. But again, with that being all, I just want to thank everyone for the work that you all are doing in the department. We know you all are pretty much part of the backbone that makes the city go, that makes us look as good as we do. I will tell you this, we've had more compliments on the cleanliness of the ward. And I think that's, you know, attributable to the work that you all are doing. I want to thank Deb for taking my emails at all hours of the day and night and getting my daily high lift request in from our staff, getting all of that stuff going. It's a great team, and you all have been, I think, probably one of the most innovative groups when it comes to doing what you all do as a department, what your departmental mission is. So kudos to the ideas to do stuff. Even though Tommy stole the idea from us on quality of life, we're gonna let him take that credit for that one as he retires. This is your last hearing with us out here as well. So thank you for your years of service to us, to the city of Chicago. Again, you guys have a great level of talent. But what I am excited about is the next group of people that I think that are going to come behind you, that you all have been training to take you all's respective places. Because again, you all are the backbone of the city. I think that people don't realize and understand the work that we do coalesces with the work that you do. All of us have solid ward superintendents that go out and really take care and meet the needs of the people. While we did grid garbage, I think kicking and screaming, it does have its advantages. I think we did the same with forestry, kicking and screaming, but as we see, the results are there on the efficiency side. I know that we can, you know, we can figure it out. We've had greater challenges that we figured out. So I know that between garbage and tree trimming and the basic services that you all provide, that we will continue to innovate and become more efficient in the process. And again, just thank you, and thank you. You anything you guys want to close with?
Again, thank you. Appreciate the conversations we've had over the years. Hopefully they get better. And we're here for you. And thanks for giving us all the kind words, everybody, and the things we need to work on as well.
Oh, I have one question. Now that Gloria is our rat czar, who's going to handle the weeds? You did? Okay, my bad. You did ask that?
Yep.
Oh, she's going to do it all. Okay.
We're all in.
Okay.
We're all in.
Okay. All right. I thought y'all might have had a free spot over there for somebody, but nonetheless, we're going to get it all working. But again, thank you guys for your work. You all are excused, but subject to recall as we get through the challenges here. Committee will stand at ease till tomorrow at 10 a.m.